I was looking at the texts this week, seeing what is it that connects all of them. And of course, the first thing that jumps to mind is fish. So I figured I'd deal with the elephant, or I guess the fish in the room, with the sermon title and say, okay, it's not the fish. That's not what connects these stories in the way we're going to talk about them. Although, fish will probably show up at least now and then in one form or another, large or small. And as I was looking at this, I was reminded again of just the book of Jonah overall, which is just such an interesting story. And if you were raised in the same kind of educational milieu that I was, you encountered O. Henry stories, those snap, twist-ending stories. And I've often thought, he could have written this story. Because you have Jonah not doing what he's supposed to, getting thrown into the sea, swallowed by a fish. And the really interesting thing is, of course, when Jonah goes back the second time to Nineveh and he says, okay, you people, God's going to destroy your city. Too bad for you. Because that's about as good a message as Jonah was willing to put together. Because you notice that he didn't really have anything good to say. He doesn't even say, this is what you should do. He just says, hey, in 40 days, your city's going to be overturned. And that's all there is to it. And then it isn't, because the people change their mind. What's interesting is, what do they change their mind to? What difference do they make? Where do they get this information? Well, we're not really sure. But they change sufficiently that God says, well, I said I was going to destroy your city unless you did this thing, and you've done this thing, so your city is fine. So we have two calls in this story. We have a call to Jonah that he ignored and ran away from, but eventually fulfilled. We have a call to the city of Nineveh that they listened to and paid attention to. Looks like call is going to be one of our sub-themes for the next little while, I suppose. And then we go look at Mark, and that's where we get our other fish. Simon and Andrew, James and John, they catch fish for a living. And they were called, but they followed the first time. And as I was thinking of these two stories, Old Testament and New Testament, trying to see where they were connected, I started looking at the call itself. And not so much Jonah's call, but the call to the city of Nineveh has some similarities to the call to Simon, Andrew, James, and John, in that it's a call into uncertainty. We tend, as we so often do, in biblical things as well as everything else, is we tend to look at things that happened in the past through the lens of what we know now. And so we look at this story and we say, well, of course, Jesus being, you know, the incarnate God, we don't understand everything about the incarnation, but we know that he was fully God and fully human, went to these people who are going to be his disciples and he tells them to follow. So of course they did. Wait a second. Do we think that Simon, Andrew, James, and John knew all this stuff about the incarnation? I don't know how they could have. And I'm not saying they didn't, but it's an argument from silence, really. And if we look in John, it appears that they, at least a couple of them, had met Jesus before, but this is early in Jesus' ministry. They, in one sense, didn't really know what they were signing up for. Now, the people at Nineveh at least had some idea of what they were going for. They were told that God was going to overturn their city, but they didn't really know what to do next. Here, these people know what to do next, but they don't know what that is, and that's follow Jesus. It took some work for me, but I was able to get past knowing this from the end and sort of put myself in their shoes, and their actions become almost incomprehensible. Even if Jesus is known as a rabbi, as a teacher of value at that point, he's walked up to people who have presumably a reasonably stable employment world and said, follow me. Think about that for a minute. That's a lot like, oh, accepting a new job on the basis of the business card they give you. Say, here's this business card, this is what you're going to be. You want it? Well, nobody's going to say yes to that. At least I don't think they will. But that's more or less what these people did. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow me and you will get a decent benefits package. He didn't say, follow me and I'll take care of all of your needs. He said, follow me and you will then fish for people. Which is a statement, if you think about it, is kind of weird anyway. What do you mean fish for people? You fish for fish. I mean, it's now, it's become just part of our parlance in the church. You know, we have songs, "I will make you fishers of men." But think what that must have meant back then. "I'm going to make you fishers of people." What? With a hook? With a net? Doesn't sound like fun, but okay. And they followed. And I kept getting hung up on this. Just the uncertainty, the what does this even mean? So I figured I'd go and I'd look up what other people who are much brighter than me and wiser than me and older than me even when they wrote it, see what they said. And they said basically the same thing. "We don't know." It's a weird call that these people took up anyway. And what I found myself doing is going into sort of looking at this and going in circles with every circle with a slightly different perspective. So I look at it from there and I go, well, this is a weird kind of call. Why would anybody do this? And then I go around again and say, well, okay, they were called to do something that they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. No one would do that. Wait a second. Anybody who's married and has been married for at least, say, 4 or 5 years, or for that matter, probably even a few days would do enough. Did you know exactly what you were getting into? I don't think so. I mean, you knew the broad picture. It was, okay, we are going to be together forever. I'm going to follow Jesus and become a fisher of people, whatever that is. That's about the same, or at least very similar. It doesn't matter how well you know the person you marry. It doesn't matter how long you've known them, how much counseling you've gone through. In a very real sense, you're marrying a stranger compared to what it is later. And yet you go into this with your eyes wide open, realizing that your wide open eyes can't see anything coming up, really. So maybe this call isn't so strange. And then it takes another twist as we look at it from that perspective. That we don't know exactly why people responded to the call of Jesus, any more than we know exactly why people responded to Jesus all over the place, other than that he had to have something about him. And whether it was what we would today just call charisma or that magnetism, we've all met those people that you just want to be near. You don't really know why, but there's something about them that you just want to be close to them, you want to listen to them, you want to sort of do what they do. And maybe that's, in one sense, all that Jesus had from a physical or a human standpoint. But he obviously had it enough that people went, okay, I will follow you and go fish for people. I sometimes wonder if any of them asked, should I bring my net along? Will I need that? I don't know. But when we look at it from this, when we bring these two calls together and look at it from the perspective of what did it mean to step into the unknown, we realize that we have a lot of connection with this. Now, I've never been called to be a fisher of people. At least not explicitly. I've never met, you know, a corporeal being who said, come and fish for people, because, well, I don't know what I would have done with that either. And I look at the call that I've received or the calls at various times. And even when I thought I knew what they were going to be, it turned out to be something else. I felt strongly called at one point in my life to become a missionary. And my expectation was that I was going to go to another country and be professionally religious there, something that I've never done. I've been to other countries, enjoyed it for the most part, but not because I was sent there by a mission sending board or anything of that nature. So even when I thought I knew what the call was, it turned out to be something else, and that's when I began to realize that for all of us, every call we receive, in a very real sense, is a call into uncertainty. Now, I'm sure we've heard stories, and I've no reason to think they're not true. I can't think of any off the top of my head where someone was called to do something and they went and did exactly that, and that was like their life was sort of laid out in front of them, and that's the way it worked. But for most of us, that's not the case. For most of us, when we talk about this ongoing walk with God, following Jesus as we have, there have been all these weird turns along the way. We thought we were going south, and suddenly we realized not only are we not going north, south, east, or west, we're going straight up. It's completely different. It's nothing like what we thought. What is it that keeps us going? Well, if it's not certainty, because that's what keeps most of us going, is having some idea what's going to come next so we can plan for it and all that. What is it that keeps us going? Well, in some ways it's very similar to what keeps us going in marriages that we're in or those long-term friendships we have, which are similar in that same sense that when you realize that this coworker or this classmate is going to be one of those people who's just going to be in your life forever, whether they're near or far, it doesn't matter. They're going to be those lifelong friends that you have. And you think, well, we're probably going to do this and we're going to move in this direction, and then it never seems to work that way. It's very similar. But what is it that keeps you going? It's obviously not the certainty, because there isn't any. It's the person. I'm still married to Heather, not because I know what's going to happen tomorrow, but because Heather's there, whatever happens tomorrow. When we're called to follow Jesus, we're not called to walk into a clearly defined path, at least almost never. You look through Scripture and you will work pretty hard to find places where you're told exactly what's going to happen next. But it's pretty easy to find places where we read things like, I will never leave you. I'll be with you always. Nothing can separate us from this love of God that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. What makes this work and what makes this worthwhile is who we're with. The uncertainty that these four and the rest of the disciples had to deal with, Matthew leaving a lucrative and significant bit of employment as a tax collector to leave all that behind, they left the certainty of a known job and a known situation, but they exchanged it for following someone who would be with them and whose presence and whose relationship meant more than what they left behind. When we're called to follow God, when we're called to be followers of Jesus, to be in this relationship with Him, we're not called into a certain future in the sense that we know what's going to happen tomorrow, much as we'd like to. But we're called to be in the relationship that will continue no matter what. That's what makes it work. You frequently hear people talking about the relationships they're in, particularly when they're married, when they talk about how, you know, I didn't think I'd make it through whatever it was, but because she was with me or he was with me, we made it through. It's the same here. The road that Jesus calls us to walk with Him is unknown and isn't always easy. I think all of us have had at least one moment in our life when we felt that deep sense that we were supposed to do something we didn't want to do. Whether it was making something right, fixing our own mistakes, or stepping into a situation that we didn't know what to do, we've all had these calls. And when we've done them, we haven't been alone. Simon, Andrew, James, John, Jonah, no matter what they might have felt at any point along there, we're following someone going somewhere. And even if you don't know where you're going, if the person you're with does, it's okay. Having a trusted guide is every bit as important as knowing your destination. I can know all the destinations in the world, but if I don't have a trusted guide, the chances of me getting there are pretty slim. Which is one of the reasons Heather and I are married. He started out as my guide, and we thought, well, let's just make this permanent. We're asked to follow, even though we don't know what's coming. Even though that drives us crazy, because it does. If we didn't want to know the future, we would never care what the weather was. If we didn't know what the future held, we would never listen to anyone talking about current societal trends because we wouldn't care. We do care. We want to know. And it's not just curiosity. We want to know so we will feel better about it. And when we don't know, it can kind of drive us crazy. Until we start reminding ourselves that wherever we go, Jesus is with us. We follow Jesus anywhere. And even when we decide, willfully to go our own way, as, well, probably most of us have at least once. He's still there with us to lead us back to where we're supposed to go. This is what makes the uncertain call so attractive. Not the uncertainty itself. I've never met anyone who enjoys uncertainty. I suppose they could exist. I've just never met them. But in the midst of what we see as uncertainty, we have the certain companionship of Jesus. We have the certain knowledge that he said, I will be with you always. Not just when it feels like I'm here, not just when you want me to be here. Always. That's what makes it worthwhile. That's what makes it possible. So it's not about fish. And the story of Jonah, notwithstanding, it's not even about the threat of fish, that if we don't listen, we'll get swallowed by one. What connects these stories in particular is that God says, follow me and I'll take care of the rest. That's all we have to do. It's not easy. But all we have to do is say, yes, I will follow. Even when it's hard, even when I don't understand it, even when I don't like it, even when I don't get it. But when we follow, we're following someone who does know where they're going. And it's taking us where we, in the end, have always wanted to be, whether we knew it or not. Amen.